do want to say how grateful we are to have Brother Jeff Elliott here with us. Brother Jeff currently resides in Indianapolis, Indiana, and he's not a stranger to this church. He's preached here several times and been among us, and we've been able to enjoy a close relationship with he and his family. We're so thankful for that. I'm thankful for him, thankful for what he stands for this evening. I would encourage you to open up your hearts, open up your ears, not only to Brother Jeff, but to the Word of God. Amen. And that we would be able to hear, not merely with our ears, but with our heart, what God has to say to us. We're a needy people. And we serve a good and a gracious God. And these times that we have together like this, where we can sit and hear what God has to say to us, they make us who we are. So I just pray that we would seize the moment and be present in the moment and be ready to listen to what God has for us tonight. If there's nothing further at this time, I'll go ahead and turn the pulpit over to my friend and brother, Brother Jeff. Glad you're here.
Well, you know you're among friends when they come up to you and say, "Oh, I thought was your son going to preach? I thought we were going to hear some good preaching." That was the first words out of his mouth. I won't say Pat's name, but all kidding aside, it's good to be with you. I figured if I have to come this far and be abused, well, that's all right. Pat's leaving somebody else alone. He's picking on me. But I want to say this. I love you guys. I'm just glad that the Lord brought you into my life. And I mean that through all the years of the different times that we have been able to worship together. And it's been a great and wonderful blessing to me. I don't know about you, but we've cried together a little bit and shouted, some of us, lost our dignity, saw souls get saved from time to time, and the work never stops, does it? I guess is what I'm trying to say. And I sit out in the parking lot. I came here early, and just, Lord, what is it? What I had was just, you know, I just threw it out the window pretty much, and just, what is it you want me to tell these brothers and sisters? I know I'd be preaching to the choir tonight, those that are faithful enough to come back on a Sunday night and get a double dose. I don't know what you got this morning, but hopefully it was good and it fed you. So I'm not sure what you're going to get tonight. But I do have a few things on my heart because I want to encourage you. Not that you need to be encouraged, but I think we all do from time to time. We forget who we are. We let down a little bit. It's just, it's human nature to do that. We get content. We get in our spot. We sit in the same seats, right? You start putting name plaques on it. Maybe I should just switch you up. But they said they were going to switch around, then I wouldn't know anybody. But I've been coming long enough. I know who you are. I know the troublemakers anyway. And that's good to know. Got one verse on my mind, and we'll see where it goes from there. It's found in the book of Psalms, good book, and familiar to most. It's the 116th Psalm and the 12th verse. And I guess my goal, and I'll just lay that out, I don't know if I really have a title or whatever, but I want to remind you of who you are, encourage you to continue to do the things that you do. We have a tendency, I think, let down, as I said, and get lazy on the Lord. And friends, there's just not time for it. That life doesn't stop. People are being born each and every day. The message of the gospel is just as important today as it was when it was first preached in the Garden of Eden. If not more, because there's more of humanity out here that is without it. There's more people like me that were out here in the world that didn't know anything about the real God, and then God brought somebody in my life that cared enough to share her testimony with me. And friends, I just want to encourage you to be the soldier that we all need to be for the Lord, because there's people around us each and every day that are dying and they're leaving this world and they're unprepared to meet God, and we know what that means. And I think it helps to be stirred up a little bit, maybe, I don't know. But this verse, 12th verse of the 116th Psalm, it says, "What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits towards me?" And I got thinking on those things and how blessed I am. I don't know how far I can get into it, because I am overly and abundantly blessed by God. Undeservingly so. I want you to know that. I'm just a sinner, my friend, but I have been saved by the grace of God. I know that my Redeemer does live. I know that He's real. He's not a figment of my imagination. I remember my father when I first told him about being saved. I remember coming home that day, and his words out of his mouth were, "He's just dating some little Baptist girl. It'll pass." Well, 41 years later, my friend, it's better now than it ever was. My dad didn't understand then. I don't know. He left the world without a testimony. And maybe he understands. Well, he does understand now. He knows the truth. I don't know where he is as far as his soul is concerned. But I do know, a friend, my Redeemer liveth. And we have a job to do for Him. And it's more important now than I think it ever was. At least for me, how blessed that I am. Turn with me, if you will, to the Ephesian letter. Because I do want to remind you of what you came from. And I think it's good to go back. And I appreciate the sister's testimony and how she felt this night about being saved, and how blessed that she felt because that the Lord would even save her. Friends, we don't deserve what God did for us. We don't deserve the Lord giving His only begotten Son, dying on the cross of Calvary, doing all that He did, my friend, while He was here, that you might have a chance and an opportunity to seek the Lord and be saved. And then He saves you. And then He asks some things of you. And it's not just taking up a pew. That's minor stuff. That's minor stuff. And I'm not trying to belittle that as far as you faithfully coming and taking your spot at the house of the Lord. But friends, if all you're doing is taking up that pew and not working outside of these doors, then we're failing God. We're failing what He'd have us to do. Because this is what He did for us in the second chapter of the book of Ephesians. "And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." You remember that? I want you to remember when you were lost and separated from God. You were dead in trespasses and sin. And God supernaturally changed your life. Supernaturally. That's the only way one can get changed, by the way. From God. It's not just a decision. It's not, as we know, it's just not just an idea, just a quaint idea, as my father might have thought at some point in his life. And I tell you, I worked with my dad for the first 15 years of my married life. We built bridges together. He was my boss, and we rode to work together. My friend, I'm telling you, I preached a lot of gospel from that old 4x4 running down the road. And I would tell him about Jesus Christ. And I said, you know, he might have gotten saved somewhere. I have no idea. But it was just as important as us standing up here today, that it was outside of the church. No one else knew about it. Between me, it was between me and him and God. And I'm saying we all have things like that to do. God took you and changed you. I know you know what that means. If you've really been saved by the grace of God, you know you were changed by God's grace. You know that you have life now, and it's in you. And the Bible says it's abundant life. It's not just a circumstances. But we can get a little bit cold from time to time, can we not? We get complacent in our job, and I'm telling you, there's no time to be complacent, at least in my mind and my heart. I see so many that need to hear the gospel, so many that seemingly will reject the truth, and that's the Bible. The Bible says many are called, but few are chosen. Many are going to hear and not have anything to do with it, but that still doesn't lessen our responsibility of doing what the Lord would have us to do as saved individuals, because He's changed us. You hath He quickened and were dead in trespasses and sin, where in times past, boy, this is me. You walked according to the course of this world. I can say I didn't know any better, I don't know. But God didn't hold it against me when I walked in that church house with my favorite beer t-shirt on. You all heard that story many, many times. But you know what God saw? He saw my soul and what it needed. He saw a dead man walking. And He, my friend, with His grace and His love and His kindness, brought someone into my life that was going to share the gospel. Oh, how important it was to hear that first testimony from Judy. I don't know what would have happened if she would have gotten stubborn or too shy to share that with me. I have no idea. I just know what happened and that God put her in my life. There's no doubt about it. With me. But I did, as Scripture says here, walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and the powers of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Wow. You were a child of disobedience. Maybe that was that change and that transformation has taken about, that's been a long time ago for you. But you're still relevant today, no matter what your age is. From the youngest one that's saved here tonight to the oldest one that has been saved by the grace of God, we all have a job to do. We were all dead in trespasses and sin, and God changed us for no other reason than He loves you. Do you understand that? You don't deserve that. You don't deserve what God's going to give you when this life is over. We sing about it and we think about it from time to time. But friends, I want us to concentrate on the now, the here and the now, because there's so many that are not where they need to be with the Lord. And who's going to tell them? I guess I have a title kind of coming to me. What have I done lately? You answer that to your own self. What have I done lately? Let's go on down a little farther. Among whom we also had our conversation in times past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and whereby were by nature children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath He quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. I'm a blessed man, my friends. I have been made alive by God Himself. He drew me. He gave me the faith. He gave me the grace that the letter talks about tonight. He gave that to me, and He gave it to you that have been redeemed by His grace. And He's got stuff for us to do, and that's where I want to get down to, the Lord willing. Because I think we just need to be reminded from time to time that, and I'm sure Brother Michael does that as a good pastor does, preaching the whole counsel of God. But there's a job to do. There's another Jeff out there. There's another Mike or somebody else out here that needs to know what you have in your heart and your soul. They need to know how blessed you are. I remember an individual, and he's kind of raised like me. He was brought in because of a young girl that he ended up marrying, what have you, and the Lord called him to preach. And I remember his testimony of salvation. He said he would sit there in the church house, and there was only about 25 of them, and then this one sweet dear lady, she was old then, and he didn't really know how old she was, but she never really said a word. She would just begin to cry, and the tears would stream down her eyes when she'd get happy, and she'd just begin to go... And she said every time she clapped her hands, it would be like a knife or a dagger, just digging into his soul. He knew he didn't have what she had. She never said a word. And so I'm telling you, I don't know what your job is for the Lord, but I know that we need to be more willing and more to step up to the plate and say, "Here, my Lord, use me," that we might have the service that we need to have. Or out in your workplace. I don't know. But God's done a lot for us. Even when we were dead in sins, hath he quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. And hath raised us together and made us set together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Oh, how many times I could begin to reminisce about the times that my soul would be flooded as it is right now. I don't know how any of the rest of you feel. And you know, sometimes at this point, I really don't care how everybody else is feeling because I'm so overwhelmed by the love of God I feel in my heart. And I know that he doesn't need to love me. He has no reason to love me. But still he does. He loves each and every one of us. He cares for each and every one of us. And he does not ask much for us. Not at all. That in the ages to come, that he might shew the exceeding riches of the grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk there in them. So he's changed you. He's redeemed you. We all have our place. We all have our job. And we all have our individual talents that God has given us. I don't know what they are for you. And they range from all kinds of things. I just know that we need to exercise the things that God has given us more and more and more. We're living in a day and age where it seems like our country needs the people of God. Our country needs you falling on your knees and going to your prayer closets and holding up these men out here and politics and everything else. And the people around us, friends, it's time for the church of the true and living God to raise the banner even higher and say, "This is the answer. This is who you need to seek. This is the only way. And his name is Jesus Christ." He saved you by his grace. He changed you supernaturally. He gave you the faith that you need, and he wants you to work. The book of Thessalonians, Paul was trying to explain to them about the second coming of Jesus Christ. This is 2 Thessalonians, where I'll be reading from the 7th verse of the first chapter. He's trying to comfort them, but he made a statement here that I think that we need to take to heart. Some of you think you're too old to pay attention, and others think you're too young to pay attention, and that leaves us, the rest of us, in the middle. I don't know what you think that you are, but I just know that we're all been saved, and those of us that have been redeemed, those that are members of the Church of the True and Living God, we have a job to do for the Lord, and if there's ever a time that we need to step up, it's now. It's this day and this age that we live in. Why? 7th verse of the first chapter of 2 Thessalonians. And you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. So he's making a statement. He says, you know, rest with us. The Lord is coming back, and he's coming, and he's not coming alone. It seems so abstract, doesn't it? Well, when you are where you need to be, my friends, it's not an abstract. You know for a certainty that Jesus is coming back. You know that in your heart. You sing about it. You rejoice about it, that he's coming. Do you not? I know I do. I hear songs about the king is coming and this and that. And you know, it's all different ones that run in my mind and my heart. And I rejoice. He's coming back. With his mighty angels. And he went on to say, in the flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that they obeyed not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints, and to be admired in all of them that believe, because of our testimony among you was believed in that day. And so he's telling these people he's coming back. But he's coming back with vengefulness. He's coming back to repay those that have rejected him. And why do I bring that up in a message such as what I'm doing? Because I want you to remember that. Friends, I've got a mother that's still lost. Jesus is coming back and vengeance will be upon her head, and I love her with all my heart and my soul. Who's going to tell her? Who's going to be the one that will stand up before her and continue to pester her about Jesus Christ if I don't do it, my friend? Because I've been redeemed and I have a job to do. I've got 3 daughter-in-laws, and one of them you know very well doesn't have a testimony of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If this doesn't motivate us as the children of God, then what do you have? What have you done lately for God? All he wants us to do is be a workman. Rightly divide the word of truth. Let our light so shine amongst the lost and dying around about us. He's not saying going out of your way. He's just saying live your life for Jesus. And all that you do. I was just told I have a new grandson coming into the world. A few months, 6 or whatever it is. I don't know about all the weeks or how much pregnant she is. She's pregnant and it's a boy. I just found that out today. The girls still rule. 7 girls and there will be 4 boys for grandchildren. Well, a number of them are not saved. And I read this, that the Lord is coming back. God loves my grandchild, the one that's not even here, more than I do. I don't know how that is even humanly possible, because it's not humanly possible at all, because it's godly possible. God has a love for all of his creation that we don't even understand. That's why he was able to give his only son to die and suffer the things that he did on the cross of Calvary. And what have we done lately? What have you done lately? What have you done for God? If you've been saved by grace through faith, that not of yourself, but we are saved for works, are we not? And go into James. And my wife, we always wrestle with that book. Just another book that says we need to be working for the Lord. I know there's more to it than that, but when I read stuff like this, and he says he's going to punish with everlasting destruction. That may be your grandchild. Maybe it's your mom. Maybe it's your dad. Maybe it's your son. Maybe it's your daughter. I don't know. But we need to be reminded from time to time that there's a work to do. And God wants us to be about it, does he not? All throughout the Bible, I find places where the children of God slacked. And they had to be reminded and they had to be punished from time to time. Israel was terrible about it. They would go be taken into captivity many times because they turned their back on God and looked to the things of the world. It was enticing, as it is today. Our young people are enticed every day. And I just can't imagine being their age in this world that we live in today. There's so much out there that's reaching out to try to grab them. Even more so that we need to be steadfast in the work of the Lord. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits? I think there's another song that talks a little bit about that, doesn't it? 103rd. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Goes down through there and talks about being saved by the grace of God and that our sins are as far from the east as from the west. That's what he's done for you. And all he says, I just want you to live your life for me. Is that much to ask for eternal salvation? Is that much to ask for where we're going and what we get? And we barely understand it, do we not? You might think you know what heaven's all about and how wonderful and how grand and how wonderful it's going to be for the children of God. But I don't think we can even get close to imagine what it's going to be like for those that have been redeemed by the grace of God. And all he says is, I saved you and I want you to work. And all I had on my heart was to come and just to, maybe you're where you need to be. I have no idea. I'm not judging tonight at all. I just want us to be reminded of who we are. I don't know about you, but I am an ambassador of Jesus Christ. I am a spokesman for God. You start me putting handles, things like that. That makes me nervous. It makes me scared. And I want you to know as well, whether you're a woman, man, child, if you've been saved by the grace of God, you're an ambassador of Jesus Christ. You are a spokesman for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And you need to be about His business. Wherever that might take you. I'm going to close in the book of Titus. Just as another reminder. In the second chapter, in the first verse. You wonder why I keep pulling off my glasses? Just a sidebar so you can laugh at me. We just got back from a family vacation and I came back with a sunburn, a cold, and I lost my glasses in the ocean. These are my old ones. I stood my, turned my back to the Atlantic and whoosh, off they came. That's here and there. Let's finish up. I know that can be distracting sometimes. I don't know, Mike, if you've got any distracting things you do, but you probably do. It says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope in glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak, exhort, and rebuke with all authority, and let no man despise them. I think Paul had it spot on. God's done it all for us. And I don't really feel that he ask too much of us, whether he takes you across the world, as hard as that might be for a mom, or whether you get to stay in this little town all the days of your life, because it's just as important here as it is across the world, that we let the world know who we are. You're important. And I don't mean that to give you a big head, but we're important in the scheme of things that God has chosen for us to be. His spokesman. His entity in the world. What other entity do you know that has the authority, heavenly authority, to do what we do? There is none. None whatsoever. And you belong to that. God's let you be a part of that. He's taken us in. He's adopted us. Not merely adopted, but made me blood kin, actually, through the blood of Jesus Christ. Let's have a song. That's my message. You just take it for what it's worth and remember who you are, I guess. What have you done lately for him? God bless you all. I'll turn it over to Brother Mike.
I want to say amen to the message. I think the Lord has had a word for us today. It seems like the things that Brother Jeff said tonight went in line with the things that were for us this morning. As he was preaching, I thought of the lyrics of a song. I'm going to read them to you. The psalm that he read said, "What shall I render unto the Lord for all of his benefits?" I don't think we think enough about what God has done or is doing because we get distracted. And if we spent a little more time in quiet considering all that God has done, it would motivate us to good works. Jesus gave it all on the cross. And there's a song that's in our songbook, and it says, "When I survey the wondrous cross." and it's some of my favorite lyrics, even though we don't sing it much because the music is older and probably not what we're used to. I want to read the lyrics tonight. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the death of Christ my God. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to his blood. See from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a present far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. When we think about our Savior, he went all the way for us. He was steadfast, didn't turn to the right or the left, knew exactly what was required by God and fulfilled it. And as we consider the benefits the Lord has provided to us through Calvary, it motivates us to serve him. What would we hold back? He's purchased us, not just our souls, but our bodies as well. Amen. And so we owe him everything. Not only that, but as the brother said, we've got a lot of people in our life that need the Lord. And it doesn't seem right that such an undeserving person such as me would receive such wonderful grace and I not share that it's available to someone else. And it is. Even though we think that some are unlikely, I think some of the ones that we think are most unlikely are probably more likely to be able to be saved because Jesus died for all. I just want to say how much I appreciate the message tonight and the encouragement. And as we stand together and sing, we'll just allow the Lord to lead. We'll have a Christian handshake. We'll put a plate on the piano if anybody wants to give a love offering toward Brother Jeff and his travels. And just encourage everyone to follow the Lord tonight as we all stand together.